Good morning, and welcome to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. This Thursday, March 23rd, 2017 edition. And in a few minutes, we're going to be continuing our study of the Old Testament. And this morning, we are going to look at the book of Ruth. And so I've been looking forward to this lesson this morning, and I hope that it'll be beneficial to you as well. I want to make you aware of just a couple of things before we dive off into our lesson, and one of those is a gospel meeting beginning this Sunday, March the 26th, and running through the 29th at the New Boston Church of Christ in New Boston, Texas. The theme is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the speaker is Brother Chris Groda, one of your Friday morning hosts and a preacher for the North Jefferson Church of Christ in Mount Pleasant. The New Boston Church of Christ is located at 610 North McCoy Boulevard in New Boston, Texas. The number to contact the brethren there is 903-628-2891. That's 903-628-2891, or New Boston, COFC.org is the website. This will begin Sunday morning in the Bible class at 9:30 a.m. with the topic of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. At 10:25 a.m. in the worship, the topic will be Though He Was Rich. Sunday evening at 6 p.m. for the evening worship, For Your Sake He Became Poor. Monday evening at 7 p.m. You Might Be Made Rich. Tuesday at 7 p.m., Saved by Grace. And Wednesday at 7 p.m., Grace Reigns Today. Also, want to make you aware of a pair of gospel meetings that are coming up April 2nd through the 5th. One of those will be at the Broadway Congregation in Tyler, Texas. The speaker will be their own Brother Jim Laws. And that'll be running April 2nd through the 5th. And also, here at Mount Vernon, our spring gospel meeting, and the host will be Brother Kerry Clark, and our theme will be Unstoppable. We also want to remind you that coming up is the 51st Annual Memphis School of Preaching Lectureship, and that is going to run Sunday through Thursday, the 26th through the 30th, at the Memphis School of Preaching at the Forest Hill Congregation in Memphis, Tennessee. For more information, you can go to msop.org, or you can contact them by phone at 901-751-2242. And one final reminder this morning is that coming up April 10th will be the final installment of the Bible Bowl series of Northeast Texas for this year. The topic of testing will be Esther, chapters 10 through 12. And so we hope you'll be making plans to attend. And that'll be hosted by the North Jefferson congregation. And of course, that will be, as always, the testing site for the event. Okay, that's what we have on our bulletin board this morning. If you want to publicize an event coming up in your area, let us know about it. You can contact us at office@tgrn.org, and we'll be happy to get your event on our bulletin board. All right, now let's turn our attention now to our ongoing study in 2017 of the Book of Ruth. And today, our study of the Old Testament, and today we will be studying the Book of Ruth. Now, as far as some introductory thoughts, chapter 1 and verse 1 puts the timing of this book in the days of the judges. The author of Ruth is not definitely known. However, many scholars believe it to be Samuel, and that is entirely possible, though we cannot be dogmatic about that. Scholars place the date of writing a variety of the judges, but we can only with authority narrow it down to the period of the judges and not one particular judge The Book of Ruth is an amazingly beautiful story that has been preserved for our benefit by the Holy Spirit. And this virtuous lady would become a part of the lineage of Christ. The Book of Ruth reminds us of God's great love for His creation. And, much like the Book of Esther, we see great reminders of God's providential care and His working in the lives of men and women. So let us examine the life of this woman that would become the great-grandmother of King David. With the possible exception of the Book of Esther, it would be hard to find a book that shows the providential care of God towards man more than the Book of Ruth. So let's dive in. Chapter 1. And chapter 1 begins with Elimelech's family going to Moab. We'll pick up with verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Now we can see from verse 1 that the events of Ruth take place in the days of the judges, and that it was famine that caused this family from the tribe of Judah to move to the land of Moab. In verse 2, we see the man was named Elimelech, and his wife was Naomi. And they took their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and they took up residence in Moab. The scripture does not tell us of a mass movement of Israelites into Moab. It may be that he chose to find a place of more comfort when God did not desire for him to leave Judah. It was definitely a fateful decision that Elimelech made that would affect his whole family for years. In verse 3, we saw that Elimelech died and left his wife and two sons on their own. It was not going to be an easy life for Naomi and her sons. And we read that Mahlon and Chilion took wives from among the Moabites. Their names were Orpah, who married Chilion, and Mahlon married Ruth. In verse 5, we see that in time both Mahlon and Chilion died, and we see the three women are now left alone. Orpah and Ruth had lost their husbands, but Naomi had lost her husband and her two sons. We can definitely feel the great loss of these women. Just picture in your mind the despair and hopelessness that one might feel if they were in the same situation as Naomi. And now in verses 6 through 15, we see that Naomi returns with Ruth. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore, she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, Surely we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. So Naomi had heard reports that the Lord God had relieved the suffering of her people back in Judah. And so Naomi and Orpah and Ruth made preparations to travel to Judah. Naomi had lost almost everything, and she decided it was time to travel back home from the far country. Though for different reasons, this calls to mind the prodigal son. When he had lost everything, he decided to return home. And in verses 8 and 9, we saw the touching scene between a mother and her two daughters-in-law. It is a great blessing when relationships flourish between those who have been brought together by marriage. I certainly will always cherish the relationship I enjoyed with my in-laws, and I am so thankful for the love between my wife and my mother. And Naomi desires God's blessings on her two daughters-in-laws. She gives them her blessing to return back to their own families and perhaps to find new husbands. In verses 10 through 13, we saw the younger women insisting that they would go with Naomi back to Judah. However, Naomi, being the realist, knew that she was past the time of childbearing and that she could not raise up future husbands for her two daughter-in-laws to fulfill the Mosaic law that the brothers should go into the widow of their brother to raise up his dead brother's seed according to Deuteronomy 25. She knew that she could not raise up one to redeem her daughter-in-laws. Naomi grieved that her daughter-in-laws were victims of sad fate, just as she had been. So she desired them to go and to have families of their own with husbands from their own people. And in verse 14 and 15, we see that Orpah is ultimately convinced to return to her people. But Ruth would have nothing to do with leaving Naomi. And now listen to the beautiful words of Ruth as she makes her choice, beginning in verse 16. But Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave you, or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. And so Ruth had made her decision and set her course. How remarkable is her devotion to her mother-in-law. The great example of Naomi had obviously caused in Ruth a desire to become one of her people and to also serve her God. Ruth had achieved human love at its highest and in all its goodness. How pleasing this woman was to God. So pleasing, in fact, as to be included in Hebrews chapter 11 and to also be placed in the lineage of the Messiah. And in verse 18, we see that Naomi relented from trying to get Ruth to go back to her own people and pressured her no more. And so, beginning in verse 19, they make the return to Judah. Let's pick up in verse 19. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened, when they had come to Bethlehem, that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, Is this Naomi? But she said to them, Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. So Naomi returns to Bethlehem of Judah, as we read at the beginning of the harvest. Naomi has lost more than most women will ever lose, in that she had lost a husband and two sons. But yet, she had gained the most faithful daughter-in-law that one could ever imagine. And we move to chapter 2. And chapter 2 begins with Ruth encountering Boaz. In verse 1, we see that Ruth met Boaz. Verse 1, there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. And so we are now introduced to Boaz, a wealthy man, and a kinsman of Naomi's deceased husband, Elimelech. It is amazing to consider that Boaz would marry, bringing her into the lineage of Christ, as well as being a descendant of Rahab the harlot. This further proves to us that God will respect and favor any individual of any nation or race that will fear him and follow him. Boaz would be of great importance to the family of Elimelech because of Deuteronomy chapter 25 in verse 5, which says, If brothers dwell together, and one of them dies and has no son, the widow of the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside the family. Her husband's brother shall go in to her, take her as his wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. Verse 2. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I might find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." You see, under the law of Moses, the poor were allowed to glean from the fields of the harvest the remnants that were left over. This provided food for the poor and the opportunity for the rich to do good unto other men. Ruth would now encounter her future husband because of this law. The providence of God is fully at work now in the lives of Ruth and Boaz. We need to remember that Ruth and Naomi had previously lived a life of at least being well-to-do, and now the life of gleaning scraps from somebody else's field was going to be something new to them and obviously would be a very humbling experience. Verse 3. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Again, providence led to her picking from the field that belonged to Boaz. Verse 4. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." And here we see our first indication of the character of Boaz. He petitioned God's blessings upon his workers, and they did the same to him. He saw no distinction among the men or from himself, and Christians would do well to emulate Boaz by removing distinctions of men from our minds. In verse 5, it says, "Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, 'Whose young woman is this?'" Notice that Boaz questions about the poor young woman. The rich would not normally do such a thing. She would have been considered by society to be below his dignity. Yet Boaz saw her and desired to know more about her situation. Verse 6. So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, 'Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house." So Boaz's servant gives him the report about Ruth. The report will earn her favor in the eyes of Boaz. And so in the next few verses, beginning in verse 8, we see Boaz taking interest in Ruth, the young Moabite widow. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" Verse 11. And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my lord, for you have comforted me, and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." So we notice that Boaz went and he spoke to Ruth. As we know it mentioned earlier, this would be unusual for a man of such means to go and to speak to a poor individual like Ruth. But this certainly demonstrated the character of Boaz. He gave permission for her to have a preferential spot to glean from the harvest. We might also consider that since Boaz was a descendant of Rahab, it would stand to reason that he might be prone to the consideration of the plight of a Gentile more than most others would. Verse 10 shows us that Ruth was definitely impressed by the kindness of Boaz. Boaz had been greatly impressed by the report he had received concerning the Gentile woman of the Moabites. And we have learned already that Boaz was obviously not a respecter of person. A good person is a good person no matter who they are or where they come from. Boaz was not concerned what her past was. And aren't we thankful that the Lord Jesus does not care about the past of the one that desires to receive his extended offer of grace and forgiveness, and the one who is willingly obedient to the terms of that offer? Of a truth, God is no respecter of person. And now we read more of Boaz's interest in Ruth. We pick up in verse 14. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come here, and eat of the bread, and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate, and was satisfied, and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also, let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." So, in verse 14, we saw that Boaz invited Ruth to come to the place where his workers were fed. This was a step up from what the other poor people would do that followed the workers of the field gathering scraps. And we see that she was invited to eat of their bread and their vinegar. And Boaz gave her a large portion, which allowed her to hold some back for Naomi. Boaz was probably well aware of what was taking place and that she was taking food back to Naomi. But the good man Boaz instructs the workers to let her have her fill from the best of the harvest. And in verse 16, Boaz had basically instructed them to even make sure that you don't get in her way, to let her have what she desires and intentionally make sure that she gets what she needs. Verses 17 and 18 shows us the great work ethic of Ruth. We pick up there. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. So Ruth puts in an industrious day of work and then takes Naomi the portion of the bread that she had held back for her. What a truly remarkable daughter-in-law Naomi had. And so now, in verses 19 through 23, we see Naomi's inquiry and her advice to Ruth. We pick up in 19, and her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today, and where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked, and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." It was only natural for Naomi to inquire of Ruth where she had gleaned during the work day. And so Ruth tells her mother-in-law that it was a man named Boaz with whom she had worked. Now notice verse 20. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." Naomi informs Ruth that Boaz was a kinsman. Many believe that Boaz was a nephew of Elimelech, Naomi's deceased husband. But we certainly see there in verse 20 the joy of Naomi. For without a doubt, the wheels in her mind were already beginning to spin. Verse 21. Ruth the Moabitess said, "He also said to me, 'You shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with this young woman, and that people do not meet you in any other fields." Naomi realizes the goodness of the fact that Boaz had offered her the opportunity to stay with her workers. This would give her protection from unscrupulous gleaners that could desire to harm her. Verse 23 says, "So she stayed close by the young woman of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law." And so this arrangement continued then through the harvest. And now we move into chapter 3, and it begins with the assurance of Ruth's redemption. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you?" Naomi had a plan for Ruth to find rest. This would be accomplished if Ruth could be redeemed under the Old Testament law. By marrying Ruth and giving her children, Boaz would redeem her in place of his deceased kinsman. Verse 2 says, "Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, He is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Naomi knew that Boaz would be at work that evening, and that the time was right for Ruth to go and to see him. And so, the plan begins. Verse 3, "Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in. Uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do." So Naomi told Ruth to go and to gussy herself up and to make herself look beautiful. She would wait till Boaz retired for the night and then go in and lay at his feet. Now we need to understand that this was a custom of that day, and this was not some type of sexual seduction, as we might be prone to think. The goal was for him to be impressed by Ruth, and also to call to his mind that he was a near kinsman, and that he had the right to marry Ruth and redeem his kinsman's seed. And so in verse 5, we see the response of Ruth to Naomi. "And she said to her, 'All that you say to me, I will do.'" So Ruth agrees then to the plan of Naomi. And we pick up again in verse 6. "So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down." Now remember, she was doing nothing unseemly. She was simply asking for what she had the right to ask for under the law. He had the right to marry her and give her children. And she is simply showing her willingness to Boaz if he is willing to fulfill his responsibility. And there is certainly nothing indicated in the text that he perceived her actions any other way. Verse 8. "Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, 'Who are you?' So she answered, 'I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative.'" So Boaz is quite startled when he awakens at midnight, as you can imagine, and he finds this woman is laying at his feet. It is obviously dark, and he can't see who she is, so he asks, "Who are you?" She asked him to spread his skirt over her. That was the custom in that time as a way of saying, "Marry me." In verse 10, it says, "Then he said, 'Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich.'" We see the character and integrity of Boaz shining again. Boaz is impressed that Ruth had not sought after the younger men. And he is also impressed by the fact that she wanted to do right by her deceased husband and her mother-in-law, Naomi. Boaz is certainly impressed. Verse 11. "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Boaz states his intention to do everything that is right toward Ruth. What a compliment toward Ruth. Indeed, the value of a good name is precious. Proverbs chapter 22 in verse 1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver or gold. We pick up in verse 12. Now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you. As the Lord lives, lie down until the morning. Boaz, knowing that there was one kinsman of a closer relation, because of his honor and integrity, must go to him and to ascertain his desire in the matter before he can take Ruth as a wife. Again, we see such character in this man. And also again, we stand amazed at the providence of God in bringing this man to the virtuous Ruth. Verse 14. So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. Then he said, do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. Another honorable act by Boaz. You see, if Ruth had left earlier, some might think inappropriate actions had been taking place. And so he kept her there overnight. Verse 15. Also he said, bring the shawl that is on you and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 eppas of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. Boaz sends her home with food for her. And Naomi and the food would also reduce the chance of people taking wrongs in their thoughts about her character. 16. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, is that you, my daughter? Then she told her all that the man had done for her. When she arrived back home to Naomi, it must still not have quite been full light yet, since Naomi inquired as if asked if it was her. Just imagine that morning, the conversation between these two virtuous women, as they talked of the events of the previous evening, and their joy at seeing that things were going to so work out so well, it appeared at this moment. Verse 17, and she said, these 6 eppas of barley he gave me, for he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. What a happy day, when Naomi had confirmed her thoughts about his honor. And chapter 3 concludes in verse 18, then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. Naomi tells Ruth to sit back and relax and wait. She knew that Boaz would quickly ascertain the other kinsman's intention, and that she would know her future by the end of the day. And so we move to chapter 4, as Boaz redeems Ruth. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Come aside, friend, sit down here." So he came aside and sat down. Boaz goes to the gate of the city to look for the nearer kinsman of Ruth. He located the man and invited him to come and sit with him and to talk. And verse 2 says he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Boaz brings along 10 elders to sit with him. He would have witnesses to the matter they were about to discuss. This would eliminate the possibility of miscommunication or falsehoods arising out of this meeting. We continue in verse 3. Then he said to the close relative, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." So the kinsman is quick to accept the opportunity to redeem the land, but he was a little quick in his judgment, and he was not aware of the rest of the story. Verse 5. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance." So Boaz now reveals to the man the rest of the story, that in addition to the land, he would have to marry Ruth, for she must be redeemed as well as Naomi. Any son that he gives Ruth would inherit the portion of his father rather than the older sons of the Redeemer. And so now Boaz has much more to think about, since ultimately the land would go to the son of Ruth. Verse 6. And here, after he's had time for some thought, "And the close relative said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it." The kinsman reverses course and decides not to redeem her. He felt that it would harm his own inheritance, and perhaps he was cautious concerning Ruth being from Moab. The Moabites were indeed an evil people, but Ruth was the exception to the rule. However, not knowing Ruth, he probably did not realize that. Verse 7. Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm anything, one man took off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was a confirmation in Israel. Therefore, the close relative said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself." So he took off his sandal. So Boaz purchased the land of Naomi and her two sons, and the right to marry and father children to Ruth. And the deal was sealed between the two men by the custom of the day, in giving his sandal to his kinsman. Let's pick up in verse 9 now. And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day. Everything concerning this matter had been handled uprightly and honorably by Boaz, and also done in the presence of witnesses. There could be no rightful accusations of impropriety against Boaz or toward Naomi or Ruth. Boaz had accomplished something very special in now having Ruth to take as his wife. For Boaz, indeed, in Ruth, had found something worth far more than rubies. Recall Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Verse 11. And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel. And may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman." The gathered folks in the city gate ask a blessing on Boaz and his younger bride. An honorable man receiving honor because it is due, for he had earned it. Ephrathah was the older name of Bethlehem, and his line, his lineage, was certainly be going to be famous in Bethlehem. For centuries later, when a young woman named Mary would give birth. Verse 13 now, we see, beginning here, the descendants of Ruth and Boaz. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Another highlight in this great story. Boaz and Ruth were soon married, and the Lord would bless this marriage with a child. The blessings of Boaz and Ruth are just beginning, for the Lord remembers his people. Verse 14, then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative. And may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him." The women of the city told Naomi with joy about the fact that she would have a lineage, and they believed her lineage would be famous in Israel. They spoke to her of her amazing and her faithful daughter-in-law, who was better to her than seven sons would have been. They believed Naomi would have great joy in her sunset years because of Boaz and Ruth and her grandchildren to come. Verse 16, then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi." And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Naomi was blessed to be a nurse to the child of Ruth and Boaz. God had truly blessed Naomi, a virtuous woman, wife, and mother. The child of Ruth and Boaz, the grandchild of Naomi, was named Obed, and he would be the grandfather of David the king. Verse 18. Now this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. And thus we have the lineage of the promise. Half of these lived during the days in Egypt, and half lived in the time from the Exodus to the reign of King David. And so, through Ruth, Israel would continue to march through history toward a manger in Bethlehem. Praise be to our God that the Holy Spirit has preserved for us the story of a virtuous woman named Ruth and two of her kinsmen, Boaz and Naomi. Thank you for joining me this morning. I hope that you have benefited from this study of the book of Ruth. I know that it has certainly been a benefit to me. Tune in again tomorrow for another edition of Mornings for the Master with Chris and JJ. And if the Lord wills, I'll see you again next Thursday at this same time, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, on the Gospel Radio Network. And so till then, so long, and God bless.